I think, first of all, what is very important to happen at the very beginning is to manage expectations. So what is happening, what this AI, for example, colleague can do or cannot do, and where is being integrated and why?
Hi there, and welcome to another episode of the Future Ready podcast, where we explore how to charge up your employee engagement in times of constant change. My name is Arne Kötting, founder of Cozin and your host. Treating AI as a colleague rather than just a tool. It may sound crazy, but this change in outlook may be just what we need to foster successful human-AI collaborations. In previous episodes of our AI series, we've addressed the need for treating AI transformations as cultural shift rather than a mere tech implementation. Such a holistic approach reflects AI's potential to change ways of working throughout our entire organizations. And what's more, it encourages leaders to see the transformation with the strategic robustness it requires. Now, how do we start shaping an AI culture? This is where treating AI as a colleague comes in. By recognizing AI as a colleague, we are not just talking about a technological tool anymore. We are acknowledging AI as a valuable team member with specialized skills. Now, this approach can help us make important reflections about AI's role within our business. Why are we implementing it? What are its strengths? And where are we better off sticking to human colleagues? Not only are these considerations strategically important, but if dealt with openly, they can also help us increase employees' trust around AI. If you still think going nuts, today's guest will certainly convince you otherwise. Dr. Eleni Gorganta is an assistant professor in work and organizational psychology at the University of Amsterdam, where she conducts cutting-edge research on human AI teams. Today, we are lucky to have her share some insights into this relationship with us. Eleni, thank you so much for visiting us and welcome to the Future Ready podcast. It's a pleasure to have you today.
I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Okay. Now, in the last episodes of our Future Ready podcast, we did a deep dive into the development of AI and the implication this has on the future of companies and also communications, obviously. And in the last few years, this has been your focus too. How was your interest in AI was born, and what do you think are the main implications of AI on teams' dynamics?
Yeah, so I have to admit, I'm not really like an intelligent technology person, so more of a human team person. But I was at a conference a couple of years ago with a colleague and now a good friend of mine that she's doing human AI interaction. And we were talking about their impact on teams, and this is where it struck me. So when I translated it into what I think is interesting and relevant, and then we kind of realized that many organizations and many researchers are also discussing this AI becoming more than just a tool and being part of a team and also impacting the collaboration. So this is what, in this moment, I thought it's very important to explore psychologically and what this actually will mean for the team. So also in terms of, okay, will they be able to accept an AI not only as a tool, because we already have some issues with trusting AI and using it. So more importantly, when then we also have to accept it as part of our team. So, and I think the biggest challenge at this moment is that we are not really sure whether everything that we know from human teams can be exactly translated into this new human AI teams now that we have like a very special new type of team member.
So you're saying when you say human AI teams, you define it as the normal team plus the AI technology on top.
Yeah, so what we mean is that as for a human team, we have like a collection of human individuals and one or more AI technologies that they also, as explained before, when do we need a team or when we don't, they all have a unique role and they contribute in a unique way to achieve the team task. So, and there's also an interdependency between them. So if the AI does not do their task, then we cannot perform the team task successfully. But also if I don't do it, the AI can also like build on it. So everyone is kind of needed And the idea is this, that the AI is not someone who is replacing an existing human team member, but we are kind of using the AI to extend the capabilities that the human team had until this moment.
So an augmented team, so to say.
Yes.
Yeah.
This would be in my view. So maybe others will say, oh, we need to replace humans or have only AIs. But I think this augmented teams will bring us the most advantages.
What do the human side of teams then need to know, need to be able to do to work confidently with trust in such a human AI team?
Yeah, I think this is a very difficult question because we do not know so many things about human AI interaction yet. So at this moment, I think the biggest challenge is that us humans, we don't really understand, or most of us, like including myself, we don't really understand how an AI operates or how is their decision making. And we don't have a lot of experience of working with an AI. So this leads to like having mistrust or being unsure, okay, can I actually evaluate if an AI is, for example, has the abilities to support me with my task? So definitely what we're missing is the skills and the knowledge first individually and then later on together with others and with an AI to be able to see how we can work together. So I think there are some steps in between that we still need to do.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And we also spend a lot of time in helping organization in creating this AI readiness within organizations. So exactly what you said, how do you really create this awareness within the individuals? How to, not only, of course, how to use it, but also what are the boundaries? How do I use the results? I think we are, in this regard, we are quite immature, obviously, because the technology is so relatively new, for at least for the mainstream, that there is currently, I think we are currently kind of in the phase where we blindly just, you know, accept whatever we read in ChatGPT and see as truth. Yeah. Obviously, with all the risk that you just alluded to a little bit, you know, with the shortfalls also that you see in the technologies and, you know, be it in, you know, creating or reproducing biases or indeed not creating creativity. I think there is a lot of maturity that needs to be gained.
Definitely. And I think what I would challenge at this moment is for everyone to ask, do we really need to implement AI right now? Or do we first need a strategy? Because, of course, long term, everyone will. So I see this is also is happening with many different trends. So, okay, this is now a big thing. I need to do it as well to be able to remain competitive, to, I don't know, for my product to not lose its value. But sometimes we need to take a step back and see, do I really need this at this moment? So is there an urgency? What if I don't? And if I want to do this, let's say, in 5 years from now, how will I prepare everyone so that they will integrate this change and accept this change successfully? Because otherwise, we already know from changes that if this does not work first time, then money and resources were not well spent.
And credibility is then burned too.
For sure. So I will not like go with the flow again and trust you again.
Exactly.
If things did not work the first time.
Exactly, Eleni. And I think that so much resonates with my experience also. I think if the people see this as a technological transformation, they are on the fall, they are in this kind of trap. They should see it as a major cultural shift, as a major change in kind of in how you work together, and should treat it like this with a strategy in place, what you just mentioned, with an education and change program in place that not like over time creates this ability and also the interest and the desire to really lean into the new technology. Because I agree with you, this can be quite frightening also. I mean, I love the term that you use here, AI agent as your colleague. I think in one of your research projects, you used this terminology. And I think one should see it like this. And this new colleague can be quite intimidating. No? You don't know a lot about this. Suddenly this colleague was there. Like suddenly he's on my desk here, and so in all these organizations where suddenly I'm like in my last podcast we referred to this too, where you see this only at like IT department just switches on Copilot on Microsoft and then boom, and every person has this virtual colleague sitting on your desk, and you're like, who are you and what can you do? It's quite, yeah.
Definitely. Let's say we agree, okay, we want an AI to mm-hmm. become our colleague. Like the colleague as a word has so much meaning for us as humans, right? So in order for an AI to become a colleague, to accept it as such and to, yeah, make it part of the company, then we need many, many steps in between to get there. This is not something that will happen because we integrated an AI as a system somewhere. Mm. So, and this is like, I would say this is like a long-term goal. And if I want to get there, this will also take years and really careful thought and also considering what it means and what I might lose in the process or who am I going to lose in the process. So this is a huge change at different levels.
Do you have any recommendations for internal communications departments, how to properly address the concerns, the worries, everything that's there related to having AI as your colleague? What is the role of internal communication on this long-term kind of journey to introduce your new AI colleague?
I think the role is of great importance. I think, first of all, what is very important to happen at the very beginning is to manage expectations. Mm-hmm. So what is happening, what this AI, for example, colleague can do or cannot do, and where is being integrated and why? Maybe we start small, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a pilot team and then we see how this goes. But it's only for a specific type of project or a specific type of task. Or you can, I don't know, volunteer to have like a only one meeting. So just manage the expectations and transparently communicate what this is and what it is not. Because I think most of the things that lead to mistrust or overtrust is the lack of information. I just have an image in my head. I'm expecting something due to what I've read or what I've discussed with, I don't know, my friends, what I saw on TV. Mm-hmm. And this might be very far away from the reality or what my company is intending to do. So this is for me the first thing. And I think the second is to allow room for concerns. Mm-hmm. So, and this is as with every change. So again, make it a culture thing, a value of the company that it's okay to come to me and be, I tried it, but for us, it does not work. Mm-hmm. So, or we face this problem. Or I don't know, maybe the voice is annoying or it doesn't have a voice and it's only chat-based and we don't like that. It can be a very small thing that might change so much or something much bigger that whoever, I don't know, bought the AI or implemented the strategy did not think about it because they might have not used it themselves. Mm-hmm. So I think especially at the beginning, this is, manage expectations and allow bottom-up communication to be heard.
In your article, you also mentioned the elements that are critical and crucial for human teams when it comes to establishing trust, like integrity, benevolence and these things. How do we make sense of the importance of these topics in this new relationship with our AI colleague?
Yeah, so it's very interesting because actually what we want from a human colleague, we want them to be able to have the knowledge, the skills to complete their task. We want them to be credible. And we also want them to care for the team. This is also something that we know from evidence is also something that we want from an AI to have. So when this skills, integrity, credibility, and this I care for the team or for our task are also needed for me to trust an AI, either as a simple technology or an AI as a teammate. What happens sometimes there, however, this is also what we've shown in our studies, is that everything might be there, but I still might not trust the AI. I might go for the human, although everything that I need is just there. And what we found out is that there is, again, this uncertainty. Well, okay, I see that the AI has skills, but I don't really know exactly what it's doing. I don't really know how it is making decisions. I don't know really know mm. what information is, for example, are being saved.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, again, in this situation, we need for people to either have, for example, there's this explainable AI that is also giving information about, okay, this is my decision and this is how mm-hmm. I concluded to mm-hmm. it, but also some training for the people. So giving, allowing them to have some experience with AI, to mm-hmm. let some time pass by and then again discuss what are their issues or maybe concerns when interacting with it.
Mm.
And what I've also found, and I think this will also can be overcome over time, but not right away, is that we have a lot of difficulty into recognizing and accepting the AI as part of the team. Mm. So we can see it as a tool,
mm.
but to be able to say, okay, this is my colleague, is a very big step. So we perceive it as something not similar to us. So, okay, I might not be very similar to all of my colleagues, but at least they're all humans. So when this new different nature comes in of being a technology, this changes the game totally. So we also need to create some similarities. Okay, we are all here, for example, to successfully achieve this team task, to create this common basis that we will build on and become a successful human AI team.
Super interesting. And I think now that you talk about this, I also understand why, you know, the importance and relevance of this term colleague, like as your colleague. And indeed, when you yeah. think about this and you really then see it not as technology, but okay, this is a new colleague. This is quite profound and in a way quite, wow, disturbing and deep. And I think, you know, right now, if we stay in this analogy or like in this truth, the colleague is quite a generalist, no? And it's, I've heard this terminology right now. It's like a very talented student, work student who's sitting on your desk. But we know that we are at this point where you can create these AI agents and you can really, really train an AI and, upskill an AI on a very specific task. So you could say, okay, right, mm-hmm. you know, you are the strategy AI and you are the concept creator AI and you are the content creator AI. So it's really, they really, really become very, very specialized. So they're not anymore your generalist colleague, but you're very specialized, who are far better than you in what mm-hmm. they're doing. And then, you know, we are not far from this situation where you can say, okay, where you can then have, you know, bounce an idea between these highly specialized AI colleagues. Like, okay, here's the new, come up with this new idea. And you bounce this virtually amongst each other. You play back and forth. What's the best? And so, mm-hmm. so I think then coming back to this point of, okay, accepting your virtual colleague. I mean, this is on the same, well, it can be, you know, it can be on the one hand, it can be so much value for you as a human individual, you know, having these colleagues, virtual colleagues at your side. And at the same time, it's terribly frightening. No?
For sure. For sure. And I think what is important, though, is the same way we hire a new person
mm-hmm.
when we know what we are missing, let's say, either for a team or individually, the same strategy we should follow for an AI colleague. So are we missing something here or do we want to improve? And then we go back to this augmented
mm-hmm.
Suggestion is, if so, can an AI do that or fill this space or no? So I don't have the opinion that, an AI is suitable for everything. And also, I think, as you've already said, until now, we have this idea or this assumption that AI is great. For example, art has all this like calculative capacity of doing things much faster and calculating things, or I don't know, going through documents or summarizing stuff. But this might not be like the most suitable task for them in the future. So there's a lot of discussion, for example, should we have an AI as a mediator in, let's say, a team conflict, because they're more neutral and they can be more objectively hear like each one's sides and come to a common ground, for example. So I think everything that we think an AI should or should not do is also a bit biased of how we currently see AI and what we think they should do. But I think the question should be other way around. What do we need? And can an AI help us fulfill this need?
Super interesting. Listening to this, it seems there are a lot of benefits that AI can bring. Much like what you just said, overcoming also biases. I mean, also thinking about, you know, biases and how we make decisions, kind of starting from recruiting and all that, making decisions based on information, overcoming conflict and finding best solutions. Like, this could be a massive benefit. And then again, there are kind of AI, like there are things that AI is often criticized about, like reproducing racist or sexist biases. And also, you know, reproducing what's there. And so I think, you know, coming from the communication perspective where we do, you know, it's all about creating a reputation of AI and trust in something. So I guess the question is, how do we balance these pros and cons with the objective to create really this a strong support and a strong trust in this?
Yeah, I think what we need to do, or maybe a company that decides to buy any form of AI to implement, we need to know what was the input that was given and that they were trained for. Mm-hmm. For example, if someone tells me there's a lot of literature on human biases during selection, for example, processes. If I know this AI has been trained on recognizing those or avoiding those throughout the selection process, and has not been trained only on input from existing human, for example, interviewees, then I can also communicate this to my HR or to the applicants, and then the trust will be higher. And at the same time, what we also want to see is, for example, with a new drug, I want it to be tested before I use it. I want it to have like a form of validation. I want to have like some findings. Is this working? So I want, for example, this AI to be tested before on another data set or throughout a number of, I don't know, let's say interviews, if we keep, stay with this example. And I think this automatically, if I communicate this in my company, hey, this is what we bought. This is the data that has been used to train it. And this is the findings from, I don't know, thousands validations that have been done with this technology. Then everyone will know why we bought it and why we're using it and for which reason. So, but I think these steps are definitely needed.
So in a way, your argument is that you really need to, it all comes back to this introducing properly your new colleague and communicating about who is this colleague and what does this colleague know and what is this, why is this colleague here? What do we expect from this kind? Like, you wouldn't also hire a bunch of people, just put them in an organization and then let nobody know why they are there and why they are hired and what do they need to do and what do they not need to do and with whom do they need to work. It's like, it's almost like this might kind of, it feels to me you want to humanize a little bit in a way the AI colleague in when you...
I want to humanize, if we can say that, the process of introducing them, because this is what we as humans need. So I want to know, why did you choose this guy, this girl, this person, and why are they now part of our team? So first of all, the company needs to justify their decision of buying AI name A and not B, and then also being able to explain to me, why do we need it? Otherwise, I will not be on board. I will not accept this change. Especially, I will not accept this AI becoming part of my team.
Super interesting. I'm talking about the pros and cons of AI. When you look through some of the articles or so, you can read things like that. On the pro side, it will AI and even, you know, just, you know, current large language models, like it might improve our communication and leadership skills because we are getting better in prompting. We are getting better in prompting is, in a way, you need to be very precise on getting good outcomes when you're really precise on the prompts, which some people say might be beneficial for us becoming better leaders also to colleagues. So that can certainly be the benefit. Do you agree to this? And also, how do you see this balanced against the kind of the downsides of this? So you just use this nice terminology, like you just said, like, if everything is just there, so, you know, the tool provides you with answers, solutions, or whatever, everything's just there. So my question is that, do you see also then the risk on the other side in terms of what will this change in our abilities to be creative? Do you think, I mean, one could say, all right, this is, if treated correctly, this could be like a trigger point for me to become more creative. But if I'm just using your words, accepting as, okay, this is the truth, this is it, then it might be harmful for creativity, or?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think even if we had like the same integration of the same AI colleague, for example, into companies, and the one is simply, I don't know, using it to replace some existing skills, and the other one is using it to, again, augment the existing ones, then the outcome will be very different. So, and I think if, even if you chat with ChatGPT or this new AI tool that creates images, you are in a form of a collaboration. So if, for example, you're not giving them only input and then take the images as this, but if you continue the conversation, like, okay, make it more bright or include also these elements. So it's also your imagination or input that is kind of contributing to the result. I think the drawback is if we use it to become, if I'm allowed to say, more lazy. So if I'm like, okay, just summarize this for me, and I'm not even like cross-reading it, and I'm just simply using it as it is. Because they will not be perfect, or I don't know when they might be perfect, but still, a human is not perfect. So what you don't want the perfect outcome. You want the combination of a good, I don't know, input, a good summary, but also through the human lens, so to say. Because at the end, the outcome, the result, should be accepted by humans again. So we are kind of creating this world. So at the end, we decide what we accept or what we don't. And we want to make it also for other humans to, I don't know, buy our product, for example, or find something attractive, or use our services. So I think that the drawback would be, okay, perfect. Now I found the solution. I'm just using the AI tool and now I can relax.
Yeah, exactly. Fascinating. A lot of work still needs to be done on organizational levels, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Finally, Eleni, looking to the future, how do you see the concept of employee engagement and also team activation is changing? Considering, but not only kind of limited to the conversation we just had about AI?
Yeah, I think it's a difficult question to simply answer. I think because of being now more closely linked with other colleagues that are doing more like the technological research, because I'm doing more of the human, I think we need to move away from the assumption that what we know so far is enough. So definitely this working, either like integrating AI as part of the team or just like this digitalization itself, like as we said, like hybrid working, using AI, I don't know, in your during your call or having it as part of your team, this changes everything we know so far. So I think we just need to reevaluate and also through different perspectives. So not only as a psychologist, but also as a computer, human-computer interaction scientist, or as a, I don't know, engineer, design expert. So we need to work together to see what is the knowledge that we have until now, and what do we need to question or reevaluate to see what this means, for example, for employee engagement or for the necessity to adapt and so on in organizations. So I don't think we should settle and say we already know enough, because for sure we don't. And this is like an interdisciplinary challenge, I believe.
Super, super interesting. Eleni, thank you so much for today. It was very insightful. And I agree with you. We are at the started fields of a long journey to, and I love, you know, that it becomes more and more an interdisciplinary journey. As you just mentioned, I love that you are people like you are becoming engaged, like who are experts in the human dimensions, these team dynamics, to bring in this human perspective and this human angle to what it's pretty much so far kind of focused only a technology debate. And so I'm really happy that people like you are joining this debate and finding more research and more insights about what will definitely change the way we all will work in the future. This conversation was a perfect way to end our mini-series on AI. We explored how AI is changing our ways of working, learned tech outlooks for the future, and chatted with experts about how internal communications can create an AI-ready culture. After all these exciting discoveries, it's time to take a step back and understand what it means to work with colleagues to begin with, AI or human. What does an engaged workforce look like and why does it matter? To start this journey, I keep the conversation with Eleni going. We talk about optimizing collaboration, leadership communication, and about the importance of treating employees like adults. But for all this, you have to wait until next week, so stay tuned. Thank you for listening to Future Ready. Future Ready is produced by Cozin, the employee activation agency on a mission to help employees make sense of change. Find out more at www.cozin.agency. And if you like what you're hearing, please leave us a review or forward this show to someone who you think will benefit from it. Thank you very much for this, and until very soon.